Greetings, Pixel Power Podcast listeners, and welcome to this ad hoc episode of the Pixel Power Podcast, where I discuss the Made by Google 2019 event. As I mentioned in previous episodes, I did have a subreddit chat room open while I was watching the event, and within that chat room, I captured several notes, and I thought what I would do is grab my cup of coffee here and run through those notes and give you some of the highlights from the Made by Google event, as well as some of my comments. So let me just jump right in. Again, if you kind of want to follow along, go to our subreddit at Pixel Power Podcast. You'll see a link for the Made by Google event 2019 chat room. You can pop in there, and there will be some additional commentary that I'll probably not discuss during this episode. So let's dive in and see what we learned from the Made by Google event 2019. And it began with our host was Rick Osterloh. I believe that's how we pronounce his name. And he started the show by saying, let's solve some problems. And I really enjoyed the setting for this particular event. I believe, and I would have to check this, I could be wrong, I think it was the same venue that they had in the 2018 event. It looked very familiar. Could be a little bit different, but it was a well-lit venue. One of the things I really appreciated with the venue was that screen behind the speakers. I love that pixel kind of shaped, the pixel phone shaped kind of screen. It was bright, provided all the information, and it didn't look like they were just projecting on some wall. It actually looked like a feature of the presentation environment, so I really enjoyed that. And one of the things that Rick decided to share with us is that throughout the event, we would see these videos, and the videos were hosted by Baratunde Thurston, who is a tech blogger, a very well-respected tech blogger, and just a fun guy. If you've listened to other podcasts, you've probably heard him. So it was great to see that they were using him to kind of host these informational videos as we learn about the products. One of the things that my wife noticed immediately was that Martha Stewart was in the audience. She pointed her out pretty quickly, although Martha did not make an appearance during the show. It was fun to see at least one celebrity. I didn't notice any other celebrities, so that would be our only celebrity sighting of the show. Some of the things that I liked in Rick's opening was he was talking about the way Google is trying to enhance the phone experience and the assistant experience. And he used things like helpful computing, some phrases like helpful computing, natural and intuitive. He talked about your home being a single system. And we've kind of seen that with a Google Assistant in our homes. If you have multiple Google Nest devices, Google Home Hubs, those devices or Google Home Minis, those devices just have started recently to seamlessly work together. And as he shares a little bit later, you know, what you can do is you can start at one device and move to another or broadcast among multiple devices. So I really like that. We've been using that in our home lately where we may start music on a single Google Assistant device, but we may decide to send that to other devices around the home or on all devices around the home. So I'm really appreciating the single system. And a great example of that was the discussion that Stadia brings to this single system and trying to break down what they call the purchasing of additional hardware, although I don't know how that works for a revenue model, but they want to stop you from purchasing multiple devices over and over and over. I don't see that happening with a phone, but Stadia is a great example because what you're going to do is you're going to buy a joystick. That joystick will be connected to the cloud. The cloud will deliver that game that you're trying to play to a screen on or within your home. So I think that's really interesting to see that that new methodology for how they promote games or how they roll out systems and other features for us to use. There was also a mention of Motion Sense on Google Assistant for Pixel 4. We're going to talk a little bit about that a bit later. And one of the things I thought was really interesting, one of the very first things he did was basically show an image of everything he's going to discuss or everything they're going to discuss during the show. There were no reveals, and there probably were no reveals because the media has revealed everything up to this point. And I think that's the first takeaway from this. There were no surprises. We had read everything online about what was coming. And unfortunately for me, that kind of took away from the show. It did make it a little dry, a little boring at times, but there were some nuggets in there that we can pull out, and I'll share those as we go. And the first nugget, some information that I thought was interesting was this discussion around the Google Pixel Buds. So these are new earphones. They are a differing design than what Apple is doing. I much prefer the Google Pixel Buds over the Apple Apple, what do they call those things? The whatever they're called, Apple, whatever you call your ear plug-ins. I should know that. But I do not remember what those are called right now. But anyway, the Google Pixel Buds, what I like about them, they're tiny and they're independent of each other. The previous Pixel Buds were connected. They weren't connected physically with the electronics, but there was a strap on them. These are two individual. They will be a base charging port for those. They fit flush in your ear, which I really like. So they're not hanging out of your ears like the Apple earphones are, which again, I for whatever cannot remember the name of the AirPods. There we go. I just got it. They don't hang out of your ear like the AirPods. The Google Assistant will be built into the buds, which I think is different from the AirPods. The AirPods still rely on your phone to connect, but the Google Assistant will be built into the buds. There's also something that they mentioned called long-range Bluetooth, which will allow you to be a much longer distance away from your phone to get the information or to hear the sounds that are being transmitted via Bluetooth. And they talk to up to three rooms away within a home, but across an entire football field if you're outside. As a design priority and also the fit, there does seem to be some small adjustments to fit. It will use a suction cup or a fitted ear foam in your ear, which I like because what it'll do is it's going to completely seal out the environment. And what I really liked about it was they talked about this thing called environmentally adaptive sound. So if it's a real noisy area, the earphones can take that sound away from your ears. But when you need to have some of that ambient sound, it can let that roll in. I did like that. They also talked about for the microphone, if you're talking using the Pixel Buds, it will use some jawbone conduction, which is interesting. And that'll be a way that it'll better recognize the audio coming out of your mouth when you're either using the Google Assistant or in a phone call. Now, the bad thing about the Pixel Buds is they won't be available until spring of next year. So we're technically talking almost half a year to three quarters of a year before they're available. Price will be about $179. That seems about right on par. A little pricey, but to be expected for a premium earbud that I think they're trying to put together here. So of all the things that were discussed today, this is the one I knew the least about, but it's also the Google Pixel Buds is also the one I think I'm most excited about. And honestly, I'm kind of glad that they're waiting until next year because that'll help me kind of spread out the purchase of devices. I can maybe purchase a Pixel phone now, and then I can pick up the Pixel Buds later, and that'll help kind of spread that cost out over time. Next thing that they discussed was the Titan security chip. And that's used to protect your data. A lot of information about why that's important. Google had a real focus on security and privacy, which I appreciated. I think they've gotten slammed a little bit here of late in the media, but they do seem to be trying to make that a priority. One of the things I did like is you can now ask your assistant to just delete your data. So you can say, "Hey, assistant, delete my data," and it will do that. So that is a good feature and a good quick way to clean up your assistant stored data. One of the things I did appreciate is they did spend a lot of time talking about and provided a video on their sustainability and systemic change to the carbon neutral and renewable energy sources. So they are taking a real effort to assist in renewable and sustainable design to the tune of about $150 million investment is what was stated. They want to be a sustainable, secure, private, and helpful. That is the Google way when they look at sustainable design. There was a individual, her name was Ivy Ross, and she shared the Google design process, which as an instructor who used to teach manufacturing processes, really appreciated the video. She sat down with Baratunde and they talked about the ways that they're trying to be more sustainable with their design. So I thought that was really cool. It also, my wife pointed out early on, we learned a little bit more about Ivy Ross. She evidently is a leader in female STEM since the beginnings, when her father built a homemade speedster for her. And that was kind of fun to see that. That she talked about sustainability from every angle using new and recyclable materials. And she said that every new Nest device includes recycled plastics. I was surprised that there was no applause after that. That's pretty significant. I think more and more manufacturers are going to that. But I think it's great for Google to make that commitment that within their new Nest devices, there will always be recycled plastics involved. And the Nest team is seeking to reduce and continue to reduce their environmental impact across all lines. And I have to assume that that is also going to the phone or Pixel line. And she also mentioned, again, as I mentioned earlier, Stadia is a really great example of this. You're going to buy that one controller, and with that one controller, you're going to have access to the server, which you're not going to have to purchase that. That'll be there. They'll take care of that, so you don't have to keep purchasing upgrades for gaming. I think that's a real new paradigm in gaming that's going to be exciting to watch and see how that rolls out. I could see myself buying a Stadia controller probably faster now than I could an Xbox One or a PlayStation, because I know I'm always going to have the best and fastest processor providing that gaming experience for me. So I wasn't sold on it when they originally rolled out Stadia, but I'm now considering possibly jumping into that and at least giving it a shot. It's pretty expensive to try. The other thing I like is they spent some time talking about the Stadia controller and how it was designed. It is designed or has inspiration from knife handles. So I would recommend you go back and rewatch if you've not seen it yet and focus on how they use designs. The other thing they mentioned is that the Stadia controller uses a screwless design, so there's no screws. Now, they pitch that as a design feature. I think there are a lot of makers out there are going to say, well, that just sounds like they're trying to keep me out of the controller. I think there's probably a little bit of that in there too, because if you don't have screws, that means it is not going to be easily fixable. You're not going to be able to fix it if something happens, although you probably wouldn't want to, but it's probably going to be harder to get into. Time will tell when the Stadia controllers roll out whether we can open them up and take a look and see what's inside. I'm sure the iFixit team will take care of that for us. The other word that my wife really keyed in on while we were watching this is they said the word googly, and she pointed out that Google is now a noun, a verb, and an adjective. She would be correct. So now we can talk about the organization Google as a noun. We can say, hey, I went and Googled something, and now it can be googly. So that's very interesting. Then there was a discussion about the new Pixelbook. It's the Pixelbook Go. It will cost less. It's designed to be more accessible to everybody. I will say I was a little disappointed in the price, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. But the Pixelbook Go is a marked difference from the Pixelbook Pro. Or just the Google Pixel Book. The Google Pixel Book has that 4:3 aspect ratio. The Pixel Book Go will have a 16:9 aspect ratio. It has a matte design. I think it's going to be available in just black and not pink currently. It weighs 2 pounds with 12 hours of battery life. They touted the reduction in weight but increased battery. And then it has something called ultra quiet hush keys. Supposedly they learned from their Pixel Book design of their keyboard, and they want to make those keys quieter. I will tell you, I was typing on my Pixelbook notes while I was watching the event, and it was quite loud, so I can't wait to see and try and touch these hush keys on the Pixel Go. There are various configurations of the Pixelbook Go. It starts at $649, which again, I still think is a little high, and I think that gets you an M3 processor with a standard HD display, but I saw some configurations up there, and we didn't see prices. But if you dive into those configurations, you can go up to an i7 with a molecular display. I bet that thing's going to cost more than the original Pixelbook did by the time it's over. Time will tell. If they said it, I missed it. I did not hear a release date for the Pixelbook Go. I'll have to check that out. Maybe we'll share that in the addendum on the next episode. Next up was Risha Chandra, who came up and talked to us about Google Nest. She talked a little bit about the Google Nest Max, which is still on my radar as potentially a gift for the family over the holidays or to put in our house. I like that Google Nest Max has a camera. I think I'd like to put this on my wife's desk. She has a Google Home Hub that doesn't have a camera. And when I want a duo, we don't have that interactivity with the video. We can still duo audio, but I sure would like to see the video as well. Risha continued to talk about the commitment to privacy. Again, that was a real theme during this entire event was privacy. Talked about Works with Google Assistant program for devices and how any device receives the Works with Google Assistant program certification. They're going to have to go through specific requirements themselves for how they secure data. I think this is a good thing. And I also think it'll make us think twice about buying something that doesn't have that stamp of approval, just to ensure that we have good security. She also went on to talk about whole home audio. And what I thought was interesting is they said the sound on the original Mini was great. This I got a note. The sound on the Google Home Mini is not great. It's okay. It's okay for audio, for speech, but it's horrible for sound. But they did say that an upgrade is coming, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we roll into that, she also talked about this whole integration, this one home integration, where you can place something on a Google Home Hub or a Nest Hub Max and then send that to your television. So again, not only are we sending audio around our home, we can now send video around our home. And we've been doing that here in our home. We've been starting video on one device and starting to send it to others, as I mentioned earlier. It's worked with audio, and sometimes it works for video, sometimes it doesn't. So I think this is something that's being rolled out. So there was the announcement of a new Nest Mini at $49. It's a very similar design to the original. It is supposedly comes in new color options called Sky, which is a light blue, but it also comes in the original options if you're used to those Nest Minis in those color options. It includes a wall mount, which is basically a picture frame mount on the back, or you know how you have an outlet strip and it has those cutouts in the bottom where you can hang it on screws. That's basically what we're talking about. Don't get all excited about a new high-tech wall mount. It's basically you screw in a screw to a wall and you hang it on the wall. That's the wall mount. I was hoping for something a little more creative than that, and maybe something even a little less destructive. They claim it has, for this little Nest Mini, it includes a 2x stronger bass and clearer sound. Probably you're going to get that. It also includes a third mic for noisy rooms. And one of the exciting things is it has a 1 teraops coprocessor built in, so it can do local processing in the device instead of having to go to the cloud. And that's for twofold. First of all, the responses will be faster because it won't have to send it to the cloud. The actions will be faster. And then that also assists with security. So it will only pull the cloud when it needs information. So for instance, if you're asking it to set a timer, that doesn't necessarily require any kind of cloud connection. The coprocessor built into the device can set that timer. But if you want to know when a movie starts, then it needs to connect to the cloud. So pieces of that might be handled locally, and then it would grab that information. So the claim is we're going to see a much more responsive assistant. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. You can also, with the, and this has already been highlighted, I think we all know this, you can use your phone to call devices using Google Duo. Probably many of us are already doing that. It will now include the Google Assistant, newer Google Assistant devices, and I'm hoping an upgrade for the old ones will have this, the new Nest Aware, which will have intelligent alerts. So it will sense things like if your dog is barking or your fire alarm goes off, and it'll send you an alert or notification on your phone. I think that is a good option. And I have other cameras that do that. For instance, my Wyze cams will do that already. So why not have that built into our Google Assistants for complete home protection? I think that's a great idea. They're also going to decrease the rates for the Nest cameras. What is it called? Let's see. It is the whole home pricing for Nest Aware. And it will come in two versions, $6 and $12 per month, not per camera anymore, but per home. And that's a great addition if you need that. And the difference between the 6 and the 12 is how long it stores your video. But no matter how many cameras you have within your home, that'll be covered under the same $6 or $12 per month. So that pricing upgrade is good. Again, I think you all know, and I've mentioned this, I do have a couple of Nest cams. I don't have them under the Nest Aware program. I have never paid for cloud storage, and I've since moved to Wyze cams because I can stick an SD card in those and get the same feature. I don't need those. I guess if your home burns down or there's something, then you're going to lose that. But I'm not really hot on the cloud storage. So the Wyze cams are working well for me. And Wyze cam does give us some cloud storage. I think it's 2 weeks or a week. I'm not sure which one that is, but there's enough there that if you have any events, you can do that. So still, if you're a Nest camera user, you will be pleased at the reduction in monthly fees for that. They mentioned a new home app is coming with something called a home feed, which will show you your priority items. And then whole home connectivity with Google Wi-Fi is coming. There's a new Google Wi-Fi hardware as well as some software updates. Most of you know Google Wi-Fi is my router of choice. The nice thing about the new Google Wi-Fi is with only two stations, a router and a hub, they can get the same coverage that I have with three devices. I like that. I'm not sure I'm going to upgrade. That may be another, I may skip a generation, come back to it. But the other thing that they're doing with the Google Wi-Fi is they've designed it so that you want it to be out in the open, not only design-wise, but you also want it to be out in the open because it now has a Google Assistant built in. So it just becomes a part of your whole connected home. It is supposed to have 2 times the speed of the regular Google Wi-Fi, and I don't know what that means because my Google Wi-Fi is fast enough, but I guess if you have a need, that would be good. And again, it gives you the same coverage with one less hub. It will come in a range of colors. Again, much like our Google Home Minis, it'll have that same color scheme so that you will want to set it out. And the one thing they did mention that I thought was funny is they said, and you can have control over your Wi-Fi devices. For instance, you can say, hey, assistant, pause Wi-Fi for kids devices, which my wife and I laughed when we heard that. We're sure that's going to be a really popular device, and I'm sure kids will really appreciate their Wi-Fi being turned off. Another video came up after that, and we discussed in that video audio engineering, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I did like the touching story by the audio engineer. She came to America. She has immigrant parents, and her whole goal is to help the Google Assistant understand accents. And I think that is getting better and better from my understanding. And Google Assistant being able to work through accents or thick accents that others from other countries would have is definitely a plus. Sabrina Ellis was up next after that to talk about the Pixel and ambient computing vision. So there's a new look, new color, new finish, and they talked about Project Soli. And Project Soli was, again, another video with Baratunde that came up, and they talked about how the Pixel 4 is going to have radar in the phone. There are radar sensors in the chip, and they talked about how it started as this device they created that was probably 8 times larger than the phone, and they just kept making it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And they just chose to use radar because that allows for better motion sense. And they say it's the fastest face unlock of any device. So that was a dig to Apple, I'm sure. They also said the thing about radar is motion sense in the radar will power down a phone and provide gesture support with your hands. So for instance, they demonstrated how you could flip from song to song without even touching the phone, but waving your hand. You can stop the audio. But this motion sense combined with this AI also understands various types of gestures. For instance, they gave this great example where if you swipe over, it changes the song. But what if you take your coffee cup and you kind of lift it over the phone? Well, would that actually fast forward or rewind your phone? No, it kind of understands that. So it uses AI to figure out what's coming across and can really sense the shape of your hand and that you're using your hand to do something. It's going to be interesting because Soli sensor is also very privacy oriented. So you can remove the data and how you use it. It's not saved on the phone. And one of the interesting things about Soli that I saw, and they just touched on it, is the phone will understand your intention before it acts. And that's where I was talking about, you know, taking your hand and swiping versus you accidentally went over the phone with a coffee mug. And supposedly it will predict what you're planning to do next. So we'll just have to see how that works on the Pixel 4. Again, I'm looking forward to it. Let's see, what do we have? I'm scrolling through my notes here in Reddit. We have, a new clean assistant interface, or as I typed in here, InFrace, but just ignore my typing in the chat room if you're looking at it. There were a few errors, but a new Google Assistant interface, which I thought was pretty spiffy. Instead of this card scrolling up from the bottom, you get this really colorful blurred assistant. It's pretty spiffy. If you had a chance to see the event, you saw it. If not, go take a look at it. I like the new design around that. It does seem like it's more modern, more integrated. Doesn't look like an afterthought. Doesn't look like the assistant was an afterthought with a card sliding up. So I think that's a great addition. It's faster too, because more processing is done locally. Your assistant on your Pixel 4 should provide results a lot faster. And when you're in those areas where you don't have a strong signal, the things that can be processed locally won't be hampered because you don't have a signal. I am really looking forward to that. I think that'll be great. They also mentioned a new command, which is, hey, assistant, how do you keep my data safe? I'm going to have to try that. Apparently, when we say that to our assistant, it'll give us some guidelines and tell us what Google is doing to try and keep our data safe. The Titan M chip will be built into the Pixel 4, supposedly rated the top security of the phone with the best security in the industry because of this Titan M. And again, that's keeping your data locally and removing it when it doesn't need it. And then one of the things I really liked, and we didn't know about this, but I just thought this was a great demonstration. It's a new voice recorder app. As they said, most voice recorder apps just pretty much record and that's it. The new voice recorder app built into the Pixel 4, and I'm assuming, I have to hope it's also going to be available for our other Pixels. Not only does it record the audio, but it transcribes the audio in real time. And I love the demo. They said, and by the way, we've had a Pixel 4 recording this show for the last, I think it was six or eight minutes. And then they brought out that phone or displayed that phone on the screen and showed how we could in real time watch it transcribe what the person was saying. And then afterwards, how we could go back in and search that transcription. For instance, they could find how many times they said the word Pixel in the last 6 to 8 minutes. And I thought that was a great feature. It would be a great feature for assisted devices, people who are maybe hard of hearing, people who have problems understanding and comprehension. I think it'd be great. And it'd just be great in general if you need some kind of transcribed audio. It'd be a quick way to do that. Then the real kicker was this was recorded, or this phone is being used in airplane mode. So none of that audio was being sent to the cloud process and sent back. It was all being done on board using their new AI processor in the phone. So that's pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to seeing that work. And I love, again, that they're thinking more about using your phone in a non-connected environment. I think the Pixel phones have really needed to do that, as have all mobile phones. It's not really just them. All mobile phones need to be able to do things less connected. And I've always wondered why that wasn't the case. And I guess now the technology is just hitting. Next thing I talked about was their OLED display, which I admit I love their OLED display. It is an awesome display. I'm looking forward to their new version on the Pixel 4, their 90 hertz smooth display. Now, the thing about a 90 hertz smooth display is that that thing could eat your battery pretty quickly. So this is going to be adaptive. It is going to know when you want that 90 hertz and when you don't. And if we can kick that down or bump that down, then it's going to help preserve battery life. So I was glad to hear them talk about that. Of course, the Pixel phone, they said, will always have the latest Android apps. It is also, if you buy a Pixel, new Pixel 4, you can get a free 3 months of 100 gigabytes of Google One. And the real thing about that is really not to entice you to upgrade to the 100 gigabyte Google One program on a monthly basis, although you probably do. It's $2. It's something we do in our family. But for those 3 months, you get the Google One premium tier of support. So if you have questions, you can use that. So 3 months is really just a long enough time for you to use that support, find out what help you need, and get those things fleshed out so that you can enjoy the phone for the remaining 9 months of the year if you need to. The way we understand it now, all the Pixel 4s will include unlimited storage and Google Photos for your images and video too. So that is a free inclusion. You're not going to have to pay for that. So the 100 gigabyte Google One is on top of that, which is great. The phone's going to come in just black, purely white, and almost orange. I am not a fan of the almost orange. My current Pixel is a purely white. I'll probably stick to a white. It does come in those two sizes that we've talked about. I'm torn. You know, I have the Pixel 3 XL, and admittedly, I wanted the Pixel 3 XL because I want to try that notch out. With the Pixel 4, there's no notch. You just have the two sizes. And I've always thought the Pixel 3 XL was just a bit large for my hands, for my pocket. This may be a phone model where I drop down and not get the XL and just get the Pixel 4. I can't decide, do I really need that screen? But boy, I sure do like a smaller phone that fits in my pocket more easily. So I'll let you know where I decide. Again, as I mentioned in the past, I wasn't sure if I was going to buy a Pixel 4. I'm leaning towards it. There was kind of this hint that because I'm an original Google Fi subscriber, I might get a break on the phone. If I should be looking in my inbox today for that. If that is the case, then maybe I will. If not, I'll wait till Black Friday where you can get the best deals on Pixel phones. And even from last year, the best deals on the Pixel phone were from Black Friday from last year. So just a little tip for you. If you're thinking about upgrading, you can hold off. Wait till Black Friday. You're going to probably save $200 to $250 bucks on the largest model and probably $100 to $150 on the smallest. So again, just a little tip for you if you want to do that. The next thing they did is they went into the camera. We spent a lot of time at this event in the camera. For the camera discussion, they talked about the miniaturization of the camera right into the phone, how they got these multiple cameras, smaller, put them in there, talked about the combination of the microphone. One of the things I thought was amusing, they said, hey, we have a flash on the camera, but let's not use it as a flash. Let's use it as a flashlight only. And probably won't need a flash ever with the Pixel 4 based on the demos we saw. It uses something called computational photography, which we've seen on the Pixel 3. But Professor Mark Lavoie came up and really told us how the Pixel 4 takes that to the next level. And he talked about the lighting lens, or not the lighting lens, but he talked about the three characteristics of a good camera are the subject, the lighting lens, and the body. And what he said is, Not at Google. At Google, it's subject, lighting, lens, body, and software. And he's right. The software, that AI, is the secret sauce that makes Google photography so much better than any other phone. And dare I say it, better than the iPhone, which I think I do dare. They do less with circuitry and more with code, which is amazing, the things that they're doing. He gave us an HDR Plus as an example of those four things, or the software being a part of it in our previous Pixel 3. And then he went in and showed an example of how HDR Plus works. It bursts 9 unexposed images and then they're averaged. So the AI is taking those 9 images, composing it into a better picture that gives us HDR Plus. So what did they do to take us to the next level? Well, the Pixel 4 now includes a 2x telephoto. And while that didn't sound impressive when they talked about it, he talked about it as a hybrid optical digital zoom. And they showed an example of the Golden Gate Bridge. First of all, they showed us a picture of the Golden Gate Bridge. And he said, now this is a telephoto image. And I looked at it on my HD screen, which, you know, is going to have fewer pixels than what I'm going to see on my phone. It looked really good. But then he said, but this is zoomed in and they zoomed back one level. And I thought, wow, that's impressive. But that's about a 2x telephoto zoom. But then he went back one more level and that looked like about an 8x, and I'm guessing that looked about like an 8x telephoto. And it changes the way that we do zoomed images on our phone. One of the things they said is no longer do you want to take an image at full resolution and then crop, because that's not the way it works. You physically want to use your fingers and zoom in and compose the picture you want and then take the image, and then it does its camera magic to figure it all out. So you're not going to want to take full images and crop what you want, because that will give you larger pixels. You're going to want to zoom in, get it composed the way you want it, take the picture, and then let the AI clean that up for you. So I thought that was new and unique, and I'm looking forward to trying that on the Pixel 4. The other thing that it includes is something called Live HDR. Now before, when we took a picture with our Pixel 3, what we did is we took the image and we hoped that the HDR would come out as a great image. Well, they've approximated HDR in the viewfinder now before you even snap the shot. So you get more, as he called it, a WYSIWYG, of what you're going to get. It won't be exactly right, but boy, it was really close. And so I'm really liking that approximated HDR, because I always wonder what my HDR image is going to look like. And sometimes I go right to check it out before I take another image to know if I need to take another image. This way, I should be able to rely on the approximated HDR and just call it a day. The Pixel 4 will also have dual exposure controls, including brightness and shadow sliders for very creative compositions. I really enjoyed what they showed, how they brought up the brightness, brought down the shadow sliders. It was almost like the silhouette of people on a mountain. It was pretty cool. And then we combine that with white balancing. The white balancing is AI-based. It will learn white-based balancing in all photos modes, and it learns from the AI that it's learned from other photos how to balance the white of the photo in relationship to what is in the scene. So it also realizes what's in the scene and can use AI to adjust. For instance, you take a picture of somebody in the snow. Many times, because there's an overcast sky, you get a blue tinge across the snow. But we all know snow is white. Well, the AI from the camera says, hey, there's snow in here. I can readjust this so that the snow is white instead of that blue tint that we have from the sky. So it's pretty amazing to see that. And part of that is also getting the depth from the dual cameras that it has so it can figure out where people are. There's a very impressive demo of a person against a cliff with some snow behind them, or a mountain with some snow behind them, and they were standing there. And because of the blue from the clouds covering the sun, everything was just blue. But this AI was able to, and when I say blue, their face was blue too. So when this AI was added into the composition algorithm, what it would do is the face came out skin colored and the backdrop came out as snow. It was amazing because everything really looked like this flat color, but because of those two cameras and it figuring out depth and using that AI to understand what's in the image, it was able to clean all that up into an amazing picture. So it is pretty amazing stuff. I think we're going to be highly impressed with the Pixel 4 camera. I think the Pixel 4 camera is going to continue to blow the socks off of anything else just because of Google's ability to use their algorithms to make these amazing shots. And it even got better. They talked about night sight improvements. And what I was amazed at, and you need to see this, is the nighttime shots. If you try to take a nighttime shot, even with your Pixel 3 on a tripod of the moon is always blurred. You can't really see the features of the moon. You can see sometimes stars are up there, but you can't capture the nuance of the stars. It's not very sharp. It's always blurred. But the photos they showed on the Pixel 4 were amazing. The night sight, as he said, the presenter said, they're not fake. They're not sorcery. It's all in the code. And I'm really looking forward to even better night sight improvements. I think it's going to be a blast to play with that, because I've always wanted to take astrophotography, as they called it, and get some of these sights from the night sky. So we should be able to do that. By the way, Pixel 4 is going to start at $799. That's similar pricing. I didn't mention that earlier, but I thought I would throw that in. And I think for the 64 gigabyte model, that may be where I come in, especially if I have a discount of any kind, that might just work for me. I've not found any problems with 64 gigabytes. I know a lot of people do, but that works well for me with Spotify. I don't carry a lot of movies. So again, I am thinking more, which I didn't think I would. I'm thinking more the Pixel 4, not the Pixel 4 XL. Let's see, what else do we have? That was it for the camera features. That pretty much ended the Made by Google event, because after that, they had Annie Leibovitz and Lily Lynn came on, and Annie showed some of her amazing photography. At that time, I kind of stepped away from my computer because I didn't really need to take notes, got a cup of coffee, watched the images go across the screen, some amazing images she's taking with her Pixel 4. So basically what they did is they gave Annie a Pixel 4 and said, go out and take a bunch of pictures. So she's had this for a while. I thought it was cute. If you take a look at the video closely, she's got a Pixel 4 hanging out of her shirt pocket. And again, her Pixel 4 images are impressive. I do like how she talks about some of those images and how she composed those, so we can learn something from that. And finally, Rick came back and closed the show. So, reactions from Made by Google 2019, really no surprises. Again, the Pixel was pretty cool. I will say I really enjoyed the photography piece. I am looking forward to that. that camera phone on the Pixel 4. But again, no real surprises. We'd seen everything. I mentioned in the subreddit, Pixel Power Podcast subreddit, a lot of people were saying that they thought we were going to see a Pixel Watch. I said, my only one prediction out of this whole thing is there will not be a Pixel Watch. And of course there wasn't. And I think the other surprise again for me was we're going to have to wait on the Pixel Buds. But now that I think about the investment I would have to make, I'm okay with that. I also don't see myself buying new Google Nest Minis. I have plenty of Google Home Minis around the house. I didn't see anything that really changes that. Again, probably the only other thing I might purchase is a Google Nest Max, just because I want the camera. But that's about it. And I hope you enjoyed this catch-up. Maybe you didn't have an opportunity to watch a show and you'll get this on your way home. You can hear a little bit about it and then you can go back and watch the event. I am trying to get this out before the early afternoon for people's commutes home. And it's the first time I've ever tried to do something quickly like this. So it is a little more disjointed. It's not as structured, maybe not as clean, but hopefully you enjoyed my ramblings. And remember, you can view my typed ramblings at our Reddit subgroup. Simply go to Reddit, search for Pixel Power Podcast. You'll find a link for the chat room. You can pop in there. And then hope you come in and join us in the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit. And let's chat more about what you thought about the event. So post your comments there. Let's get some conversation going. And maybe we'll do a little follow-up in the next edition of the Pixel Power Podcast, which will be episode 36, which we'll probably release in about a week and a half. So this should hold you over before then. So thanks again for joining into this ad hoc episode of the Pixel Power Podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.